Let's take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by acknowledging any known sin if necessary. Father, we thank you for the opportunity provided for us to gather together again for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word that provides us with the information that we need to have in order to understand our situation in the devil's world, as well as our association with Jesus Christ and the power that's available to be poured through us as a result of that. We thank you for your provision and recognize that the purpose of our life on the planet, in the devil's world, in the midst of adversity, is to glorify you as we deploy your word, vindicating your perfect righteousness and benefiting ourselves by our orientation to your truth. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information that is communicated will subsequently be made available for recall and application under the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In our continuing study of the doctrine of revolution, we noted the doctrine of conspiracy because revolution always involved plotting, intrigue, and machination against establishment truth and those who enforce it. And at the moment, of course, we're looking at Absalom and his rebellion against David, and he was involved in a conspiracy for, as we noted last time, approximately 4 years. Remember, he had fallen out of a relationship with his father because of his murder of Amnon, his half-brother, because he had raped his sister Tamar. And then when Joab conspired to get David to... David was unhappy because he loved him. He loved Absalom. And Joab wanted David to be happy, so we noted how Joab set up a straw situation where David saw that he should reconcile to Absalom. But unfortunately, as is often the case, the root core of the problem with Absalom hadn't been fixed. So Absalom's restored to the court, which puts him in a position of power, but he's actually undermining David. And, of course, that foments for 4 years before it's actually launched, and that's where we're going to get to today. So the principle of revolution started with Satan, the first malcontent who invented the first lie that became the public lie that led to the first conspiracy and the first revolution per Isaiah 14:13-14. And, of course, again, you have the closest advisor or friend, if you want to call it that, to God, in this case Jesus Christ, in the past, in eternity, it would be the Son, who is the one who conveys the information to the creatures, and his closest person or individual creation wise was Satan or the devil. At the time, he was known as Lucifer, the Lightbringer, or Hallel was his real name in Hebrew, as much as we know of it. That's transferred into Lucifer in the Latin, is where we get that concept. So Lucifer is actually a transliteration of the Latin. But nonetheless, that he was the anointed cherub that covereth, and it was his job to convey the integrity of God to the angels. And he was corrupted here in his thinking, which ultimately worked out through his words, which were communicated to the other angels, and then action as he actually deployed the rebellion. So the same sequence of events occurs. And this is nothing new. This is repeating itself in history over and over and over again. Anytime you end up with a malcontent that ends up with malcontents that are fomented by a person who wants to acquire power rather than without integrity, then you have this. So God sentenced Satan and those who followed him in the revolution to the lake of fire in Matthew 25:41. And God's response to Satan's allegation. Now remember, Matthew 25 is Jesus speaking to the disciples regarding the end times, which isn't now. It's during after the tribulation or in the time of the tribulation. So he's looking back all the way into eternity. And this is where the whole thing is working out in the end, where those who rebel against God are consigned to this lake of fire with the devil and his angels. So mankind, individuals, people who end up going there have maintained negative volition throughout their entire lifetime. But the only way a person goes to the lake of fire is if they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God while they're alive. That's it. That's the only unpardonable sin. There is no other unpardonable sin. Failure to believe in Jesus Christ is the issue. That is it. John 3:16, 3:18, 3:36 all speak to this very clearly. The issue is, what think you of Christ? Whose son is he? ? And that is the big $64 billion question that's relevant to every individual who's born. So that's the question that has to be answered. That is the issue of volition. So anyways, He's speaking to his disciples about those with negative volition who have pursued their negative volition to the point of death, and as a result, never believed. So God's response to Satan's allegation that God's sentence is unjust was the creation of mankind to be a witness for and against God regarding the allegation that God is unjust. So in the final analysis, see, God is vindicating himself. That's why it's important for us not to get all worked up about stuff that's going down. God is allowing it to go down in order that those who have negative volition may be seen. In other words, he's drawing them out. That's the point. That's what we have to recognize. God is in the business of drawing people out because they're hiding behind illusion. They're hiding behind smoke and mirrors. They hide behind human good. They hide behind what people would naturally think is good stuff. But in reality, they're evil. So he has to draw them out so that they're seen. And at that point, then you know it's not ambiguous anymore. And then, of course, that's when judgment occurs. So that's what's going on in our country right now. God's in the business of drawing people out. People who would normally be associated with what would be considered to be establishment are not. And that's precisely why we've had 8 years of what we've had. Now, our president and those who support him are not ambiguous. They clearly stated their agenda at the beginning of the whole process. Hope and change. We are going to radically transform America. That is precisely what has happened. The question is, why and how? Who failed to stop the process? And that's where the real problem lies. Now that's being drawn out right now as we speak. So it's really cool, actually. It's awesome. And when you can disconnect from it and realize that God's got it completely covered, and it's not us that's being harassed, it's God. And it's not us that's being put down, it's God. And if you're tied to the truth and you're connected with the truth, you will be vindicated because the truth will be vindicated, not because of you. That's the other thing. We've got to get ourselves out of it. It ain't about us. We're just sinners saved by grace. Now, we have to realize that we're in a position of a perfection because of the imputation of God's righteousness. But at the same time, we're no better than anybody else apart from the doctrine. So the issue is the doctrine, the truth. The truth is vindicated. Anybody associated with truth is vindicated. Anybody disassociated with truth is destroyed in the final analysis. So that's why vindication is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. But don't you get all upset about it. So that's the way we need to be. We just let it ride. Because God's in the process of drawing them out. So those who stand for the categories of truth testify for God, and those who choose to believe the lie and function in the evil of conspiracy and revolution testify for Satan. So here we have the dichotomy and the conflict that has existed from eternity, which is why we're here. And why Jesus said to his disciples before he left, there will be wars and rumors of wars until I come. Because of this issue, right here. In fact, even when he's ruling the earth for 1,000 years, there's still malcontents that are not happy with him, who move off into the outer corners of the earth. In other words, they move to Siberia on their own. And then Satan's released at the end of the tribulation, and he foments this rebellion, and they come down against the unwalled city where he toasts them. Jesus does. He calls down fire from heaven, and they don't make it. And right then, the great white throne is ushered in. So that's transiting into eternity in the context of this Matthew 25 passage. So we're noting Absalom's revolution against King David. And last time we saw the 200 men who naively went with Absalom to Hebron, where he initiated his revolution. So we're basically looking at the players in this whole thing. Some were innocent and some weren't. These guys were innocent. I put innocent in quotes there. They were naively innocent. We got lots of those people around this country today. So it says 2 Samuel 15:11. The 200 men went with Absalom from Jerusalem, were not invited and went innocently, and they did not know anything. So they were unaware of the conspiracy. Now they should have been. They're responsible for their associations. We're responsible for our associations. And we have a huge number of people who wink at their associations because they can have personal gain. That's not where we want to be. You've got to stand for truth no matter what. And if you're going to gain by cuddling up to the lie, you need to leave. That's the bottom line. And these guys should have been out of Dodge. They should not have been associating with him. But they did, okay, naively. The 200 men from Jerusalem were Absalom's aristocratic friends who were sycophants who got caught up in Absalom's prestige and fame. So Absalom's big man on campus, especially as he presents himself in lieu of David. Absalon simply used them. They were attracted to Absalon's position and personality. They were social butterflies who wanted attention, and they were proud of their friendship with him. So these guys had something to gain by their association with the crown prince. Well, who wouldn't? You know, anytime you can cuddle up to power, you get benefits. We got lots of people like that. They're in Congress. Too many. Right? And other places down there where they have the stuff going on that's manipulating the world. In their emotion, they were unaware that they were being led into a revolutionary trap. The stupid of life never have the doctrine necessary to provide discernment and avoid the allure of physical attractiveness or mental attractiveness or attractiveness of idealism. So they're deceived willingly. Remember, propaganda is what they do to you, deception is what you do to yourself. These guys wanted to be deceived. It was to their benefit to be deceived. So, well, God calls them innocent, though, but at the same time, they're going to be complicit. The principle is found in Jeremiah 17:5, where it says, "Cursed is a man who puts trust in man and depends on flesh for his strength, and his thinking turns away from the Lord." The last sentence there is the most important. When you turn away from God and trust in people, that's when the problem is. See, people are involved. People are here. People are a means to an end in God's system. We receive blessing through channels that are associated with people. In establishment. Authority. Legitimate authority provides blessing. As it should. God provides capacity for legitimate authority to provide blessing. So it's nothing wrong with having an association with people. The question is, does it obscure the reality of the facts? Jesus Christ controls history. So that person that you're associated with, from whom you actually are maybe employed or whatever, are a source only because God, through Jesus Christ, has made them that. So you have to look right through the people. Right through them. You're looking at God. The true blessing that comes to believers comes from God through Jesus Christ. Period. And what that means is, if that individual who's in the intermediary goes away, the blessing doesn't go away. It finds another channel. If you're the target, and you are as a believer in Jesus Christ, especially if you're advancing in God's Word, you're the target. So God is going to direct blessing to you some way. And if you got to pick up a gold brick in the back of your 4 acres, that's how you're going to get blessed. All right? If you shoot like they did in the Beverly Hillbillies, and oil comes out of the ground, which that would have been a blessing then, but it ain't now. Because now the EPA would be on top of you, and you'd be thrown in jail because you polluted. But nonetheless, let's go back to, that's back in the 40s and 50s, it was a blessing. God's going to bless you, if He's ready to bless you. Okay? So the issue is Jesus Christ and God. And that's where our focus needs to be. Because the real answer to the problem is always Jesus Christ and God. And yes, there are people involved, yes, but they're simply intermediaries, and they're flawed, sometimes terribly flawed. But they're still in the channel. David was terribly flawed. He was God's man, but he had committed rape, adultery, and murder. And that's what caused this whole mess. I mean, it wasn't like David wasn't complicit in this thing. The people that formed up against him were upset with him because of what he didn't and did do. So he was, in a way, complicit. But it wasn't their job to judge him. And they were. You see? David was a man after God's own heart for one reason. I have sinned. He was quick to recognize his failures and acknowledge them. And come clean. And if there's any one thing in this country that's... I'm going to do a doctrine on this. It's causing this nation to fail. It's the lack of cognizance and application of the doctrine of rebound. Because the criminals that are running the show in this place are foisting their arrogance on people in this country because of past sins that should have been rebounded and forgotten 200 years ago. Forget this crap. Get gone with you, idiot. I'm perfect in God's sight. Get lost. That should be the answer to this. Not I'm feeling so guilty because of what my great-great-great-granddaddy did. Screw that! You ain't guilty because of what your great-great-granddaddy did. You're guilty because you think that. Yeah! and they're going to twist your butt right around that axle. That's the problem with our country right now. All of the failures that we have in this country are irrelevant. Rebound. And it's over. And if they want to accuse you after that, there will be hell to pay, and it won't be on you. It'll be on them. But we're allowing it to stick because we haven't rebounded as a nation. That's a whole other story. We're going to get to that because that just bugs the crap out of me. To be a friend of Absalom, one had to neglect God's word, and although often disregarded, cursing by association is a real principle in life. Your friend's evil, arrogance, and bad decisions become your bad decisions, and when you become cursed by your association with them. So we talk about blessing by association, which we like. That's why we have the blessings here in the United States, because our great-great-great-great-granddaddy did something right. You know, it's called divine establishment. It's in the Constitution. Oh, yeah, they did some things wrong, too. All right. Fine. But they, for the most part, did things right. And it wasn't just them. It was the people across the pond associated with Jesus Christ through the doctrine that they had been taught that goes all the way back to Rome. Okay? None of those people weren't all that perfect either. But they were positive enough to the Word of God to be blessed. So the recipients of all that. So our heritage goes all the way back to that early church in Jerusalem. All right? And a positive listen to Jesus Christ. And the churches that formed up in the Gentile regions there around that from Paul's message. So these 200 men would be comparable to big businessmen and industry leaders today. So I'm going to draw the analogy. When big business is on the side of socialism, it destroys freedom. It destroys the nation's economy and it destroys itself. And of course, that's precisely where they are. God is drawing them out right now. And they are being clearly identified as the perps. This is why we've had 8 years of evil. These guys. They didn't do their job. This is how the so-called conservative business owners are seduced by liberal policies because they support their greed. See, they got bought off. They were pandered to. And they're still bought off. We got a dingbat up here in Utica that's supposed to be my representative who says he's voting for who? Well, it ain't an R. And he runs around as though he is. Now, I could have told you this 3 or 4 years ago because I've had a series of dialogue with him that made me just fume about issues that were real that he was always on the wrong side of. Now I know why. He never was conservative ever. He never has been. He's always been evil. But he sure had a good cloak. Yeah, we got lots of that happening. The liberals panned to big business with crony corporatism that is misnamed as crony capitalism because it's not capitalism at all. See, that's the big misnomer. It ain't capitalism. If it were capitalism, they wouldn't be in business. They'd be out of business because they can't run their business without the government tit. It's socialism because the government manipulates what is produced by doling out subsidies and tax credits. And this whole thing, I mean, you can go right back. You want to look at another big bunch of people? Bunch of hypocrites. They're out west. Bunch of ethanol people. Their business is gone if you get rid of these tax credits. Because ethanol does not belong in gas. But, oh, we got big business. Guys that are alleged to be conservative. They're no more conservative than the President of the United States. They've been bought off. And they're clearly become identified right now. They're being called out. So the government, the socialists, dole out corporate tax credits and subsidies, while at the same time taxing other commodities out of existence. A good example of this is what's happening to the energy business with solar and coal. They're taxing coal out of business. Now, it's underhanded, but the big man on campus said, we're going to put those companies out of business. And he proceeded to do just that. And he creates an artificial price for power so that he can sell what he wants. Not that there's a problem with either, but to produce one at the expense of the other is evil. Because if the other business was in play, if the coal business was in play, and the natural gas business and the oil business, this other stuff would not be such a big deal. The oil has its place eventually, but it ain't there yet. They're forcing it. Tax credits and subsidies and plundering taxation and regulation on the competitors. That's your government. Free? Is that free enterprise? No, that's socialism. And you could say that's communism. That's our country. So you think we got freedom in this country? No, you don't. You try doing something that they don't want, you find out you don't have any freedom. But it won't be obvious, though, because they'll come through the back door and close your bank account. They'll just tell the bank, well, if you loan money to that guy, we're gonna call your loans. You see, that's what they do. It's all backdoor insidious, you know. Nobody sees it on the front lines, very rarely, but that's what's going on. So a lot of these people have shown their real colors this election year. They're not for free market capitalism at all. All they want is big government, no borders, cheap labor, and government subsidies. They have sold themselves out to the evil government policies that are destroying free enterprise. That's what's going on. So it isn't ambiguous at all now. Now we really see why we went through this 8 years where there was no pushback at all. Because they were bought off. Sold out. These are the same corporatists who support the beast dictator and international religion of the tribulation so that they become rich and who will mourn when Jesus returns and destroys Satan's tyrannical international government. Revelation 18:11-16. This is who these people are, right here. And the merchants of the earth. Big business. Now there's nothing wrong with big business unless they're at the government tip. Then there is a problem. It's that simple. They weep and mourn over her. This is the mystery religion of the international tribulation. And that's a whole other topic too. The doctrine of religion as it relates to the veil that hides criminal politicians. And that's a big story right now in this country as being fomented by the boys in the Middle East. Hiding behind their religion. Which ain't no religion at all. Never was, never will be. Oh, it's satanic. I'll give him that. So, no, because no one buys their cargoes anymore. They don't like this. See, there's no money to be made. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and every kind of citron wood and every article of ivory and every item made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spice and incense and perfume. This is in the Bible. How about that? This is talking about big business. And frankincense and wine and olive oil and flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and cargoes of horses and chariots and slaves and human lives. Somebody's making a profit on the deal. See, these are the guys that are profiting from the international trade. And they're profiting. This is where Jesus says, stop! And he's going to smoke it. It's over, man. Toast. But right now, you got a little bit of a pushback, maybe, if we're lucky. And fruit you long for is gone from you, and all the things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and the men will no longer find them. The merchants of these things who became rich from her, that's the beast dictator and her system, will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. Gone. This, in 1 hour, this great wealth has been laid waste. And every shipmaster and passenger and sailor and all that made their living by the sea stood at a distance. See, this is when the real clarity comes down. But it was just one big international industry, which is where we're going rapidly. And which is why, if things don't stop, this is where we're going to be. Now, of course, we're not going to be here because we're gone out of here. We stop it. But maybe there's enough people in this country at this point that will actually vote for truth for once. And stop it for a while. And maybe we'll have a few more years. We'll see. It's going to get in. This is a sea change election, baby. sea change. Monster. So, we'll see. So the men from Jerusalem made the decision to accompany Absalom to Hebron from their own free will. No one forced them to go, but they made their decision in ignorance. So they were unaware of the plotting of Absalom and the revolution that was being rolled out based on his going to Hebron for religion. Again, hiding the revolution behind religion. That was his excuse. Remember, he asked his father, I need to go down to Hebron to offer a sacrifice. But the real purpose was to be near the Egyptian border so he could run away if he got caught. And to launch the rebellion. Which turns out to be successful initially, as we'll see. God holds us responsible for the decisions we make in ignorance as well as cognizance. In other words, we're responsible whether we know or not. We're responsible to know. That's the point. Because, see, arrogance fits in two places, primarily. Arrogance fits in the rejection of interest in truth. That's one category of arrogance. In other words, you don't want to know, you don't care, you're not interested. That's arrogance in itself. Then the other category is you've known it. So in that case, first case, you don't actually find out the truth because you never submit to it ever, and so you never know. But you're responsible to know what you're supposed to know. Okay. The other side is, I heard it, I don't like it, I don't agree with it, so I'm not going to go there. That's the second category. So you got both categories going on. Okay? Both are just as evil. Both are arrogance. So the question isn't so much why you're ignorant, the issue is that you are. Because you're responsible. See, nobody gets away with nothing. That's what's so great about God. God knows your motivation, and He's going to test your thoughts and intents of your heart. Your thinking is going to be pulled into evaluation. He's evaluating your thinking at every moment. Especially for the church age believers. But everybody in final analysis gets this. This isn't just for us. This is everybody. It just gets later for others. And those at the white throne are really in a deep pile of crap because they're going to the lake of fire. Because they said, no, I don't want to know. And leave me alone. I want to do my own thing. Okay. You made your call. You're with Satan. So, God holds us responsible for decisions we make in ignorance as well as cognizance. Ignorance of truth is the basis for the evil of human good. Ignorance of truth sets up a vacuum that sucks in human good. Remember, we noted that evil is either human good plus arrogance or sin plus arrogance. That's the definition of evil. So, sin plus arrogance, the sin is judged on the cross. So that, Jesus takes a hit for that, but the arrogance is still there. And human good is not judged on the cross because Jesus isn't judged for human good. Human good is the right thing done in the wrong way. So he's not judged for that, but the arrogance made it wrong, so you're going to get hit with that for that one. So that's why believers are going to get smoked. Not going to die. They're going to heaven. They're with God forever. But they may well lose out on everything they did in their whole life because everything they did was human good. Okay? That's the problem. So, ignorance of truth sets up a vacuum that sucks in human good. What does that mean? Human good is man's anthropocentric viewpoint. It's man-centered viewpoint where people think something's good because it seems to do good for other people somehow. And it may be the worst thing that could happen to them because it destroys them. There's lots of that going on. Many believers fall into this trap. It is one of the reasons the anti-establishment conspirators and revolutionists are so successful in our nation today. See, our nation isn't just supported by the people who really are out to kill the country. And there are some like that. It's also aided and abetted by those who are, in their ignorance, supporting those viewpoints. Because they don't know the Word of God. If they did, they wouldn't be there. Okay? They would say, no. Uh-uh. The whole premise behind this idea is wrong. Even though it looks like it might do some good for some people briefly. So I'm going there. I will not support that. So if we had more people that would stand up and be counted for truth when they're in positions of responsibility, we'd be way better off. But no. We can't do that. So Absalom's power over these 200 men was an evil power that inspired an evil loyalty. To break away from Absalom's evil power Each of the men must be flexible, humble, apply the truth, and recognize the great danger they were in because of their evil association with Absalom. See, the principle here, in a way it applies to us, is we have to be careful with whom we associate. Because it's easy to get sucked in. It sounds so good that you fall for it. You fall for it in ignorance. Extrication is much more complicated than implication. We are often delivered by what we avoid rather than what we accept. This is the principle of just don't be there. The fear of the Lord, God's word, is the fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. There you go. That's called not be there. Sometimes the only defense is not be there. Because if you go, you're dead. Because you got caught up in a mess. Which is what happened to these guys. Basically. Now, some of them may have escaped. We don't really know. But the point is, they were involved, and by implication, they were associated with Absalom, who was toasted. All right? So the point is, it's better to avoid problems than to get involved with them. And you can determine that based on doctrine. You know what? If the people you're hanging out with are going against the Word of God, run! Doesn't matter who you offend, screw them! Leave! They don't count. They're nobody. You don't want to be with them. Get out of Dodge. Alright? Because you'll create more problems for yourself by associating, continuing the association. Even though you're innocent, you'll be held responsible. And God will hold you responsible. This is a good time to avoid Absalom. And if they hadn't initially avoided him, which is understandable that they wouldn't have, because why? They had something to gain. He's the big boss's kid. It was a good time for them to leave him, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. So you may be getting an association naively. Fine. You were deceived. You were caught up. You thought, oh, that's going to be so nice. Let's go. But when you got there, you figured out, these guys really weren't doing what I thought they were doing. If you're a kid, call mom and dad and have them come and get you. That simple. Get out of Dodge. Leave. And it doesn't matter, again, who you offend. Go. The people you're going to offend are not worth having. Because they don't stand for the right stuff. And you got to be absolutely hard about this. Ain't no flexibility whatsoever. It's gone. Because you cannot compromise. There is no space for compromise here. No. There is no compromise between light and darkness. And the world has this whole idea, all things are shades of gray. No, they are not. They're only shades of gray because your eyes are covered with dirt. And there's no light shining in. Get rid of that dirt. That's how you do that. Doctrine. And then things are clear as a sunlit day. Ain't no shades of gray no more. It's light and dark. It's that simple. So this idea of shades of gray and compromise, sorry. Not when it comes to God's word and truth and establishment principles. Sorry. So sincerity is not a virtue, it's an emotion. You can be as sincerely wrong as you are sincerely right. Sincerity is an emotional state that does not involve rational thought. So there's lots of people that are sincere. Oh, I meant well. Yeah, okay. I mean, there's only a million people dead over there, but you really meant well. You know, that's the do-gooders. The consequences of your meaning well was very horrendous, but oh, I meant well. I felt your pain, oh, whatever. That's sincerity. That's not truth. Big difference. See, sincerity is not truth. Just like sentimentality is not love. But they both pass for the truth and love. You see? There's no love without doctrine. But people say, oh, I love you. No, you don't. You hate me. Because you don't have a click of doctrine in your head. You have sentimentality for me. If you had any doctrine in your head, you wouldn't say what you did. Or believe what you do. You see? That's the thing. Some principles that come from our study of the doctrine of revolution include: revolution is both anti-authority, anti-establishment, which explains why revolution is always anti-God. See, that's the principle you get. No, it's always anti-God. Because why? God is the one who establishes authority. In the final analysis, even when that authority is bad or evil, God is allowing it to happen because He has a reason to draw out people to see what they're really made of. Because sometimes you just have to put things under a really... I mean, it's the attitude of the people that allowed this evil to get in place to begin with. So there's negative volition. So God just feeds the negative volition to the point where then it's drawn out. So God allows evil rulers. He permits it. He actually sets people up with evil rulers. The beast dictator of the tribulation is specifically set up to bring out the evil of the people so that they can all die. All right? That was the purpose. He's just drawing them along. We saw how he says, God gave them over to a lie. They believed the lie, and God gave them over to the lie. So He just fed their negative volition. Now, they could say no anytime. Rebound is available anytime. And acknowledging sin or believing in Jesus Christ, as the case may be, depending on where you're at, are always applicable. You can always straighten up. But you have to make the choice. But they don't. You see, they don't. And God's drawn them out. So the propaganda and motivation of revolution emphasizes the goodness and equality of mankind. So the hope... See, the issue is the premise. See, that's one of the big problems we have in our country today. They'll argue with you on a detail. Well, we should do it this way and not that way. But the whole premise that they're talking about is wrong. You shouldn't even be on this page. You shouldn't even be in this book. We shouldn't even be here talking about this crap. That's a detail. It's irrelevant. Okay, this is better than that. Fine. But everything you believe is wrong. So we can't even go... I mean, that's why sometimes you don't even have an argument with people. Don't discuss them. They're on the wrong page. You can't talk to... Well, some people say, I saw a picture this week. They had a picture of a wall. And they said, talking to a liberal is like talking to a wall. I say, talking to a liberal is like talking to the south end of a northbound donkey. It's worse than a wall, because it stinks. That's my opinion. All right? You just don't go there. There is no association. Sorry. You get out of Dodge. So, propaganda and motivation of revolution emphasizes the goodness and equality of mankind. Well, first of all, that's a lie. There is no goodness in mankind. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Equality? Where's that? The only place there's any equality anywhere is in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many of these people are doing that? None. So is there any equality? No. It's a lie. It's all deception. They have no capacity for equality, never will, because the only place there is equality is the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, and the moment that after that, you don't have equality anymore, because some people have positive volition, some people are negative. Freedom equals inequality. Equality is not a big deal. That is not where we're going. Well, that's not where God's going. You can go wherever you want. But that was Satan's agenda, equality. Oh, we failed and we won't acknowledge Jesus Christ and we won't deal with the sin or failure, but we still don't think we need to go to the lake of fire. Oh, really? Well, then God says to him, how can I associate with you in that state and be righteous? Oh, I didn't think about that. Well, just love us. Don't kill us. No, I'm going to kill you. You're going to the lake of fire. I can't have association with you. Because I'm not perfect if I do. End of story. See, that's all cut and dry with God. He ain't messing around. Now, He did solve the problem. We don't know what He did with the angels. We know what He did with us. He put Jesus on the cross for us. He says, if you believe in Him, you're righteous. Positionally, even though you're a dirtbag. So you are righteous because you believed in Him and because He was righteous. And I'm going to tie you to Him because you believed. So that's how you get to heaven. You're still a dirtbag. Experientially, because you don't do very many things right, because you got no doctrine. Maybe you'll get some doctrine later and do something right. But let's not worry about that. You're going to heaven based on Jesus Christ. That's it. You get to heaven, somebody asks you how you got here. Him. I'm here because of Him, not because of anything I did. I did nothing. Now, you may have. That's not the point. Because your righteousness does not count before God. That's a whole discussion in Romans, where Abraham is brought up. And Abraham is the father of the faithful. He's big man on campus when it comes to doctrine. But he's not in heaven because of anything he did. He says Paul says his righteousness was awesome. He was a great guy. He did all this cool stuff. But not before God. You see? It was because he believed. His righteousness occurred way back in Ur of the Chaldees when he believed. That was it. You see, that was it. That's the same with you and with me and with everybody else that believes in Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus, it ain't about us. So propaganda and motivational revolution emphasizes the goodness and equality of mankind, while doctrine contained in God's Word of Truth emphasizes the freedom of self-determination that results in human inequality because of volitional choices. See, God is all about choices. Freedom. Which means you have a right to be right, and you have a right to be wrong. But there's consequences for both. Freedom cannot manufacture or guarantee equality in the human race. Freedom actually guarantees inequality, because different people will make different choices, and some will succeed and some will fail. You see, that's the problem. And that's where socialism is wrong. It eliminates volition as a factor. Why? Because everybody's equal. At least that's the story. Now, the truth of the matter is it ain't so. But they got to make it sound good to the people that are losers, which is what they do. So socialism destroys freedom because it attempts to create a forced equality regardless of bad choices. See, that's why they won't talk about the family. Your choice to have kids without being married is the reason why you're in such a world of hurt here. So stop it! Oh, no, the politicians couldn't possibly say that. No, that would just be violating people's freedom. We got to compensate for that somehow. How? Well, we're going to steal from the guy over here who did everything right because he's making too much money. God's blessing him, and we can't have that. So that's what he does. This is what the government does. You see. So, socialism destroys freedom because it attempts to create a forced equality regardless of bad choices. It prioritizes equality of result rather than personal freedom by attempting to mitigate the consequences for making bad decisions. It pays for its policies by plundering those who make good decisions. So that's the deal right there. Plundering those who make good decisions. You didn't do that. You didn't build that. It was all this stuff around you that did that. Bullshit. That's not what it is. It's you. And God's grace. That's what did that. All this stuff exists because someone else had positive volition and God's grace poured that out too. It certainly wasn't the government. See? See, the whole thing's a lie. The whole premise. The whole book. The whole field is a lie. And we're going to see David. He's going to change the field. You got to change the field. You cannot argue with the lie on the field of the lie. You got to go to the field of truth. You can't maneuver. See, they got you boxed in. And Absalom thought he could box his dad in because his dad, we haven't got there, but we will. His dad ran out of Dodge. He fled. He didn't need this. See, David was a king. I don't need that tent. I don't need this city. I don't need that palace. I don't need nothing except what God gave to me, and that is I am the king. So he left. And guess who took over? Well, Absalom. But he proceeds to get wasted. See, David did not hold... That's a big lesson in life. Do not hold on to stuff that's being removed from you. Run! This is all the trappings of David's position as king. All of the prestige, all of the people, all the money, all of the nice fancy house. That was all under assault by evil. And the worst thing he could have done was to hold on to that and maintain and try to force the battle to be waged from that position. So he didn't do that. He ran. He got out of Dodge, and he reformed his army, and he came back, and he waxed them. All right? That's what you got to do sometimes. You got to be willing to take the hit right now, because you know that you don't have that stuff because of anything. That stuff is real relevant. God has graced you out with that. That's the stuff you have as a result of positive listening to the Word. And you haven't left off positive listening. This is a test. Do you hold to Jesus Christ and His Word more than you hold to the stuff? David passed the test. Okay? Absalom thought he had him boxed in, but he didn't. Because David let go. And sometimes that's the first thing you've got to do, is let go. Because the ground you're maneuvering on is not big enough to bring to bear the force you need to bring to bear. So we'll get to that. The revolution uses freedom it has received from divine establishment policies to destroy the very freedom it enjoys through social engineering, activism, socialism, and civil disobedience. See, what's ironic and what's sad is that the revolutionaries are always engaged with the establishment people. And they're fighting against the very principles that gave them the freedom to be revolutionaries. I talk about, it's like, I mentioned this last time or the time before, it's like biting the hand that fed you. Because you have received all these blessings, and if you didn't have all this, you wouldn't have anything to fight over. But since God has graced out the region or the nation or the whatever, by because of the positive listening that went before you, you suddenly think that you can manipulate and acquire things illicitly through lack of integrity, that you have received as a blessing by association with others who you don't deserve to even kiss the soles of their feet. And that's what's going on in this country right now. Those people don't even, they don't qualify to kiss the soles of the believers who went before them, that they're ridiculing and besmirching and accusing. That's what's going on. And that's what's going on here, too, in this story. David was exemplary. Now, he had his issues, which is why they were able to foment the thing. But before God, David was what? A righteous man. Not because he was experientially righteous, although he did rebound big time. So he was experientially righteous. But he was in association with Jesus Christ. Now, Absalom was a believer, but he was a loser. He didn't understand it. So immorality, socialism, internationalism, and environmentalism are forms of evil that destroy freedom because they reject the divine establishment principles that create and maintain freedom. See, the reason this country has the blessing that it has is because of the standards that have existed from its inception. There, some of them are in the Constitution, but not all. You combine the Constitution with the Ten Commandments and you're real close. Okay? Real close. Because the Constitution addresses freedom, Ten Commandments address morality. And if you don't have the Ten Commandments, you're going to lose your freedom. I should say, you don't obey the Ten Commandments, you're going to lose your freedom. And I don't care what people say. Anything that violates that is going to cause a loss of freedom. And the people that disagree with me, I don't even care to know. Okay? They're not part of my life that matters. I blow them off in a heartbeat. You should too. Absalom will use his position, his attractiveness, his personality combined with the arrogant skills and hypocrisy to change the allegiance of the people from David's legitimate authority to Absalom's illegitimate evil power. Now, I differentiate between authority and power here. There's a lot of places where there's power but no authority. It's important to understand that. Power can destroy you. But if you can align yourself with legitimate authority, you can destroy power. You see, that's the thing. But you got to do it right. You've got to be really careful. This is why we're told not to address Satan as believers. We don't have the position to do that. It's not our job. We're not supposed to deal with that. Other than to hold our ground and stand for truth, that's the end of our responsibility in that space. That's it. Nothing more. Jesus Christ is taking care of him. Alright? And so we got to be careful we're within the range of our capacity. That ain't our job. That's just an example. But I'm just saying that's the thing. So if Absalom has power, there's individuals in our lives that will have power. A mob boss has power. You know, he kills people that don't agree with him. Alright? So you don't want to cross that if you're not careful. But if you cross it properly, you can go and take them down. That's what happened down here in Appalachian here for the 1950s. So you can be done. You just got to do it the right way. But that mob boss has illegal power, but not true authority. See, that's the thing. You can differentiate between the two, because in the final analysis, the true authority comes from God. It's establishment. Good example. United Nations has no authority at all on the planet whatsoever. Zero. From God's point of view. Zero authority. But it has all kinds of power. Alright? So, that's an example. So they can bring to bear power on circumstances because of their client nation, client states that give them money and resources. But they have no authority, legitimately. Even though people may yield to them because of their power. See, that's an example. Why are they no power? Well, no authority? They're an internationalist body. Internationalism, by definition, has no power. Authority, I'm sorry. It has power, though, maybe. So that's an aside. But helping you determine, where's your allegiance in this picture? So you should never be aligned with the UN, is the point. Ever. They say to do it, oppose it as much as you can without getting toasted. You know, go against it. It's not legitimate. The inspiring personality that can motivate people can also possess evil power over people. Again, there's another pet factor. Evil invariably has a personality cult associated with it. If you go back through history and you see the rise of evil in history, it generally has a magnetic personality who's able to draw power from people who support them and in an illegitimate way. Classic example, that's Adolf Hitler. All right? That's an example. He was against establishment. Now, why did he win? Why did it work? I mean, that's an excellent study. He was opposing the communists. And the legitimate authorities refused to oppose them. I mean, it's really a mirror of what's happening here, only different issues. Here at this Islam, it ain't any different. You know, and then the legitimate authorities aren't doing their job. So what's going to be attempted to do, or attempting, again, don't fall for it, is to go up against this without legitimate authority. See, that's wrong. You don't want to do that. Always got to do the right thing has to be done the right way. If it's not done in the right way, don't do it. Even if it seems like it's going to get you to where you want to be. It isn't where you want to be. You see, there are no shortcuts. That's what I mean. I'm constantly preaching that. There is no shortcut. There are no shortcuts. You cannot violate the principles of establishment and the Word of God to get where you want to go and be where you want to be. You'll be somewhere close somewhere, but it'll be worse. Because you destroyed the very principles upon which the whole thing stands. See, the principles are more important. The principles are more important than anything. Because that's God's Word. And if you stand for the Word, you'll always be in a position of winning. If God is not promoting it, He's drawing it out. So be careful, is the point. We've got to be real, 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 real careful with this stuff. Loyalty to evil power contradicts the true concept of integrity, honor, and virtue. So there's your issue right there. Integrity, honor, and virtue. These distortions and distractions and deceptions are resolved by making Bible doctrine number one priority in your life. The only way you can see through it is through the Word of God. You have to have clarity from truth. And then you have capacity to see. So without doctrine, you have no hope. You really don't. There's not a chance. That's why there's so many believers who are just completely derailed. They are believers in Jesus Christ. They're going to heaven. But they're so doctrineless that they get sucked in by the do-gooders, the crusaders. And they just go on the bandwagon with these people. Not knowing that they're causing greater harm than they could imagine. But they are. And they're enabling it. They're the useful idiots that the devil uses. That are believers in Jesus Christ. Sad. Really sad. Alrighty. 2 Samuel 15, 20, 12 to 16. I think I'll break here because we don't have time to get into this. This is the rhetorical veil. Absalom hiding behind religion. That's a good one. We'll start there next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to provide for us to study your word and the clarity it gives us regarding what's going on, recognizing it all goes back to Satan, the first anarchist, who fomented the first revolution because he believed in the first lie that became the public lie, that you are unrighteous. Help us to recall and apply this as we face the challenges that come our way in the same vein, which is basically everything, so that we might discern reality and orient to your truth and thereby be benefited by that because you vindicate the truth every time. And we ask this, thank you now in Jesus' name, amen.